Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, today is a day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. We thank you for your gift of life today and for the new mercies that met us this morning. You are the giver of all good gifts, and when your people entered the promised land, you reminded them that their success was a gift from you. And so is this day, this accomplishment, and we will not neglect to thank you as you deserve. So here goes. We thank you for bringing us here together to celebrate, as that wasn't even possible this time last year. We thank you for faculty members that helped us rightly shape our love for you and others, teaching us to think, feel, and act in ways that reflect your image. We thank you for staff that served our needs and fellow students that inspired us along the way. We thank you for administrators and board members that provided an academic environment that allowed us to think deeply and critically about complex issues. We thank you for spouses and parents and friends that gave their time, money, and emotional support as we made our way from beginner to achiever. We thank you for the ability to think and study, the dedication to see our goals through to the end, and the health to do so with relatively few interruptions. And Lord, we thank you for promising to always be our guide as we continue to learn and grow spiritually and professionally. Today, we thank you, and we need you. Go with us today as we seek your will and begin our next assignment. Even if we don't know what our next steps are, Lord, we know that you are the way. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Steve Maxwell, for leading us today, and Daisy for voicing our prayer of invocation. An invocation is a prayer that invokes God's presence, that invites him to be among us, and I believe that he is today. On behalf of President Barry Creamer and the entire Criswell College family, welcome to our 46th annual commencement exercises. We're honored to have you here with us today, those of you in person, and those who are joining us by live streaming, to witness and to celebrate the conferral of degrees upon the class of 2021 and to recognize the accomplishments of the class of 2020, whose graduation exercises last year had to be curtailed. By way of recognition, I want to mention that Daisy Reynolds is this year's recipient of the H. Leo Edelman Award as the outstanding master's degree student in that class of 2021. H. Leo Edelman was the first president of Criswell College, and it's quite an honor to receive this award. I'm also pleased to welcome to our campus and by live streaming the alumni and the trustees who are a big part of our college family. We thank you for your prayers and your investment in our students and in our college. And now it's my distinct honor to introduce a very special young man, Caleb Shockey, this year's recipient of the prestigious W.A. Criswell Award as the outstanding bachelor's graduate in the class of 2021. Caleb, come on up.
Thank you, Dr. Street. Very excited to be here and be given this presentation. And I wanted to begin by expressing some gratitude. I want to thank my wife, my family, my peers, the faculty, and the staff for making my academic experience at Criswell one of the most formative and insightful seasons of my life. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to give you some encouragement and a charge today. And so naturally, as a biblical studies graduate, my charge will come out of the Bible. It's a topic that no doubt has received a significant amount of attention in settings exactly like this. But as often as it was spoken by our Lord Jesus and written on by his servants, I feel it's a concept that we too often caveat in our own practice. And as the education we have received at Criswell and in our churches about how to read God's word or use our giftings in our fields to the best of our ability, while that is helpful, we cannot forget the context. My fellow graduates know that's a favorite word in the classroom, and which we are to use these blessings. Today, I want to remind you about love, and primarily, to quote DC Talk, how love is a verb. This love is what identifies and distinguishes our God Yahweh, for God is love, and because of this love, he sent his son to save us from our sins. And none of this is unfamiliar in the Bible Belt Buckle of Texas, but love does not stop with God. The scriptures make it explicit that anyone who has benefited from the love of God is to take on his nature and in turn love others. So I wanted to share three things out of scripture. The first is the summary of our Lord. The second is the emphasis on our love. And the third is the emptiness of our accomplishments without love. So to begin in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, the summary of our Lord says, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets depend on these two commandments. We see the significance of these commands in that the incarnate word, Jesus, who is present in the law and prophets, can accurately say that these two are the most important. In our churches and in the classroom, we have learned about God and who our neighbors are. Let us not forget to apply this knowledge and to love. The second, the emphasis on our love. 1 John 4, 7 through 8 says, dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we do not love, then everything we've aspired to be is a lie, and our identity in Christ is completely distorted. And third, the emptiness of our accomplishments without love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, if I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. If we graduate from such a great place as Criswell College, but do not use what we have learned to love our neighbor and to be a servant in our community, for the glory of God, then it was all for nothing. Brothers and sisters, let what we have gained not be brought to nothing by failing to act always in love toward those around us. Thank you.
It is our privilege now to recognize the significant and distinguished service to Criswell College by one of our own faculty, distinguished senior professor of New Testament and Greek, Dr. H. Leroy Metz. It is appropriate for us to recognize him at a commencement ceremony because since joining the New Testament and Greek faculty at Criswell College in 1976, Dr. Metz, in 1976, my mom was still dressing me in red, white, and blue polyester shorts. You, on the other hand, were taking your position here. And since that time, Dr. Metz has been an enduring champion and advocate for Criswell College students. So it's appropriate for us to honor him today at a commencement ceremony. Dr. Metz and his wife Jeannie have two children, Brent and Mandy, who are with us today, and six grandchildren. And as we honor Dr. Metz today, we also honor Jeannie for her service to the college over this same time. Jeannie, thank you for your active love for this college, which you've demonstrated in many ways. And we all know that for all of the ways we have seen this love expressed, there are innumerable ways that you've expressed it that have gone unnoticed. Thank you. Jeannie, would you please stand for just a moment and let us recognize you today and the support you've given to Criswell College. Thank you. As but a token of our love for you and for your family, thank you. Dr. Metz has invested in the lives of individuals called to Criswell College, both while students here and after they have graduated, both inside the classroom and outside the classroom. Twice he has been recognized as Professor of the Year. In 2001, the H. Leroy Metz Greek Language Award was established to recognize the outstanding teaching ministry of Dr. Metz as the premier Greek scholar in the Southern Baptist Convention. The H. Leroy Metz Alumni Scholarship was established to honor Dr. Metz's dedicated service to the college by providing graduates of Criswell College and their immediate family members with tuition scholarships, enabling them to pursue additional studies here at the college. Today, upon the occasion of his retirement, it is proper for us to again honor Dr. Metz. Dr. Metz, if you would please join me. Your wholehearted dedication to the mission, the employees, the students of Criswell College is evident to all. It is an expression of our appreciation for your service in the past and a symbol of our desire that you would continue with us into the future, that upon the recommendation of the faculty and with the confirmation of the Board of Trustees, the President has conferred upon you emeritus status. Congratulations and thank you, Dr. Metz. I now have the honor of welcoming our next two speakers, Dr. Imad N. Shahada, the founder and president of Jordan Evangelical Theological Seminary, will provide this year's commencement address. Dr. Shahada founded the seminary in 1991 and continues to serve there as the institution's president as well as professor of theology. Dr. Shahada earned a Bachelor of Arts from the University of California at San Diego, as well as a Master of Theology and Doctorate of Philosophy from Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Shahada has authored books and articles in both English and Arabic that address a wide range of theological topics, especially pertinent for the Arab world. His most recent work, God With Us and Without Us, is a two-volume work demonstrating the inevitability, the beauty, and the life-transforming power of oneness in Trinity. During his theological studies, he was ordained as pastor by our chancellor, Dr. W. A. Criswell, and founded the Arabic Baptist Church in 1983, which started as one of the chapels of First Baptist Church of Dallas. He and his wife, Julia, have 3 sons and 3 grandchildren. Before Dr. Shahada comes to offer our address, Andrew Sabaitis, the 2020 Outstanding Master's Graduate, will come and lead our graduates in a responsive reading.
Criswell College classes of 2020 and 2021, please stand for the responsive reading of God's Word. Reading is taken from Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You may be seated.
President Dr. Kramer, distinguished faculty, graduating class, family and friends of the graduates, I cannot tell you what a great honor it is for me to have been invited to this sacred occasion of the graduation of this college that bears the name of the beloved late W.A. Criswell, who has impacted my life for several years when I served under his leadership. It is such a privilege and a joy to address you today. It has been a while since I've spoken publicly in English, so bear with me as I fetch for words here and now, as I translate in my mind from Arabic to English and then from my English to your English. And when I first graduated many years ago, before gray hair, our speaker was Dr. Howard Hendricks. I remember he saying these words to the graduating class. He said, "You all think that you have finished this long journey in the wilderness, and now finally you're coming to the promised land." Then he said, "I've got news for you. You're still in Egypt." And this commencement, which means the beginning, it's really the beginning of your journey into the wilderness. It's a challenge. The title of my message is simply Persistence persistence that pays. And what does it take for us to stay on course against great odds to make impact in this world of ours? What does it take? How do we stay with it the long term? I'm speaking from a passage from the book of Colossians, Colossians 1, 24 to 29, from the Word of God. And as you know, the book of Colossians is in three parts. The first part, it's talking about the uniqueness of Christ. That's where this passage is located. And after Paul was praying for the Colossians that they would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, he turns his attention to the world and reaching the world. And he gives three guiding principles on how to stay with it, how to stay strong, the long trip, long journey, as long as we live. And I'm going to share three principles out of this passage, Colossians 1, 24 to 29, using three key words that each of them begins with a letter, with the same letter, so that in the years to come, when you look back to this event, you can hopefully remember these three words. And hopefully they would bring encouragement and strength to you from the Word of God. So how do we stay persistent? How do we persevere the long journey? Great responsibility. How do we serve God and stay with it year after year, as long as we live? Paul says, what really gives me strength is to know that I am called to share in his pain. In his pain. I'm called to share in his pain. He says in the text, now, verse 24, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He says, I suffer for your sake, and by doing so, I'm suffering for the sake of the body of Christ in general. Actually, it's difficult to bring this out in English, but he's suffering instead of them. Here's a Christian suffering for other Christians. And he speaks here about the afflictions of Christ. Now, that word affliction is never used of the suffering of Christ on the cross, the atoning work of Christ. That's complete and done. That's the victory par excellence. And every other victory is based on this one. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a different kind of a pain that Christ goes through. And it's he states it in this passage, for his body, the church. There's a sense in which Christ is suffering for the maturation, the development, the growth of his body, the church. And Scripture bears this out several times. And one example is when Saul of Tarsus, before his conversion, he was persecuting Christians, and the Lord appeared to him and said to him, Saul, Saul. He did not say, why are you persecuting the church, or why are you persecuting my followers? He said, why are you persecuting me? When the church suffers, he suffers. Actually, we find him suffering before us. And I, like I said, the New Testament expresses it. One example is the writer to the Hebrews says, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And as you go through this wilderness, you'll find, my goodness, a lot of challenges. To begin with, we're faced with our fight against sin and evil and our human tendency to go astray from God, that constant challenge. Then we face the tension with other believers and the dissension that takes place within the body of Christ. And we struggle to preserve the unity that he paid such a high price to found. Then we also join him in facing a hostile world that hates him and hates his followers. Added to that, all the persecutions that go on all over the world in different countries, different parts, different times, constantly. We face that challenge. And then also, we're in battle with a fierce enemy, Satan, and his companions, and it's repeatedly mentioned in the New Testament, our fight and blood and wars, not against flesh and blood, against these principalities and powers. Paul says we are not ignorant of his schemes as he tries to lead us away from forgiving others, from thinking wrong thoughts, from making untrue conclusions about who God is and where he's taking us, and on. The battle is fierce. We're in a battle against the enemy, and sometimes we learn about this in seminary, in Bible college, and then when we get to this wilderness in real life, we really experience it head on. But we find always Christ has been there already. We just join him in this battle. And actually, we find that he is systematically dismantling all powers of evil. And the scripture says in Corinthians that he's abolishing them, subjugating them, putting them under his feet, all rule, all authority, all power. And he invites us to join him to defeat this already defeated enemy on the cross. But it's fierce. And then, you know, the New Testament goes on and on. We find it climactically expressed in the book of Revelation, in the letters of Christ to the seven churches. And each of the letters end with, if anybody has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. So what Christ says to each of the churches, the Holy Spirit says to all of the churches in all time and all places. And what happened there? He's giving us a summary of the history of the church for over 2,000 years. Some of them did well, some did not do so well. And we find Christ seeking churches all the time, giving second chances, pleading, pursuing, and sometimes we find him knocking at the door outside a church and asking to come in. And other times he's calling believers to step out of the church that used to be a lighting candlestick and no longer is. And he calls them out to give them a fresh start again. That's suffering. So Paul says, I am called to share in his suffering. If no matter where you, I don't know about you, but this is encouraging to me. No matter how hard it gets, you find Christ there already. And actually, Paul says, he draws strength from that. He says, I rejoice. I rejoice in this suffering to join Christ. And he says, you know, his afflictions I share to fill up what is lacking. So the sufferings of Christ, here they are, but they're lacking, and he's filling up what is lacking. So that's the sharing, joining him in this call to suffer with him. That's so encouraging to our souls. So that's the first guidance from the scriptures. You may say, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Of course it is. You know why? Because not only are we called to share in his pain, we are also called to share in his plan, his purposes. We are called to share in his plan. Notice how he says it here. Verse 25. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. When he says according to, that's a plan. A stewardship from God, that's the origin. An economy, a plan from God bestowed on me. He's given wisdom to see the actions of God in history. And he's conveying that to the Colossians and the Colossians to other churches and down to us. There's this plan of God that he's sharing with us. And, you know, and by the way, you know, you may think, oh, my plan is to do such and such and to accomplish such and such a goal. That's my plan. And I'm asking God to help me fulfill my plan. Here, Paul says, it's the other way around. He has a plan. He's already at work, and then he calls you to join his plan. Look for where he is working, and he's always working, you know. And then where is that plan? He says, now this plan, that I might fulfill the word of God. That's the plan. So the plan of God is present in the very words of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Bible, what we have in our hands. That's where the plan is. And by the way, we need to benefit from church history, from systematic theology, from all the disciplines that we study at a Bible college or seminary. But in the end, we come to say, thus saith the Lord. He said, it's the scriptures first. And in church history, we find every time the church veers off and goes liberal or what have you, it starts with abandoning the word of God. Don't forget it. Stay there. So he says, look, I'm called to share in his plan. This is God's plan centered in the Bible. Now in the very center of the word of God, there is this jewel. He calls it a mystery, a mysterion, something that was not very clear or not known or not fully known. He calls it a mystery. Actually, another way to say it, it's a beauty. He calls it, that is, here's the word of God. The center of this word of God is this mystery. Which his, and notice the progression here. He says this mystery, first of all, was hidden from the past ages and generations. But then, second stage, and now being manifested, revealed to his saints. Not only that, to whom God willed, he desires, he willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's it. So here's the plan of God. The center of the plan of God is his word. The center of his word is this mystery, this beauty. What is this beauty? What is this beauty? It's Christ in you. And he says it this way, the riches, to know the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, but not only among the Gentiles, more specifically, this mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. You know what it took? You know what glory means? You know, glory comes from the word kavod in Hebrew, same in Arabic, kabed, that's the liver, the very center, the very heaviest organ in the body, very central. So when you give glory to God, you are making him a liver. Central. Think of a stone right in the middle of a river. Everything goes around the stone because the stone is heavy. Is he heavy? Now he's talking about a heaviness, a glory that begins now, but goes to eternity in the new heavens and a new earth. And it began on the cross when he died for us to cover our sins and then to clothe us with Christ's righteousness and then to give us a new nature, a new spirit, and then his very Holy Spirit to reside within us. So now he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is where we're going. This is the plan of God. And as the beloved W.A. Criswell would always say, this is God. That's it. That's him right here. So he's saying you're called to share in his plan. You know, at the campus of our seminary in Jordan, please come visit. In the center of the campus, there's this tower. And on the tower are these words actually in Greek. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We wrote it in Greek. We didn't want to write it in Arabic. We didn't want to offend anybody. But if anybody sees the Greek, they ask. So if they ask, they're going to hear a story. Anyway, there was that time when they were putting these stones. And every stone, heavy stone, had a Greek alphabet. A Greek, Christos en humen. He elpes tes doxe. So every letter was being pulled up by ropes. There were men working at the bottom, men on the scaffolding up top, carrying one stone after the other, putting them, placing them on that tower, and it was Ramadan. And these workers were Muslim, and they were fasting as they were pulling these stones up. And one of the workers looked down and asked me, I was watching this going on, he said, what do these words mean? And I thought to myself, God must have a sense of humor. This is really great. This is the very plan of God. This is what we're called to. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're called to share in his pain because we are called to share in his plan. Now, you may say, this is really tough. I'm not built for this. This is more difficult than I could bear. This is a high standard. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. Well, there's one more message for you, for this wilderness journey. Not only are you called to share in his pain and in his plan, but you're also called to share in his very power. It's his power, not ours. Notice how he brings this out. We proclaim him, Paul says, admonishing every man. Notice the word every. Admonishing every man, meaning man and woman, every person. We proclaim him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with every wisdom so that we may present every person complete in Christ. That's power. The gospel has the power to take any man or any woman, no matter what background, what color, what race, what level of education, what country they're in, to take any man or any woman to full maturity in Christ. It begins now, and then at the parousia, when they meet him, they would be presented complete in him. That's God's power. And where does this happen? Where does this power work? It really works in the proclamation. If you see people, whenever us believers are proclaiming Christ in you, the hope of glory, there is power right there. When we're proclaiming the gospel, that's where the power of God rests. And he says it this way: for this purpose, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. His power, which mightily works within me. And he has these repeated synonyms of power: energy, dynamite, working from him, through me, to reach the world for Christ. That's his power. He's calling us to share in that very power. You know, this process involves correcting, because he says admonishing every person. That's setting things in order, correcting things. Before you can give the truth, the positive truth, you need to clear the way, lest that truth may be misunderstood and misrepresented. So it's admonishing every person, then teaching every person. And in doing so, we're not doing this half-heartedly. Paul says, I labor, striving. He's working. He's not, sitting down. He's not, oblivious. He's working hard, as if it all depends on him. But it doesn't all depend on him, because he's not doing so anxiously. He's not afraid. He says, because it is according to his power, which mightily works within me. That's his power. And I don't know, but these words just ring so strong. This is the word of God speaking here. So when you remember this graduation, think of these three guiding words from Paul. We are called to share in his pain, because we are called the highest calling ever to share in his plan. And in doing so, we are called to share in his power. That's where we should live from. That's where we should serve from. Hudson Taylor, the famous Hudson Taylor, said this one time. He said, every great work for God is at first impossible. Then it is difficult, but then it is done. That is persistence that pays. May God bless you as you go out and represent him to a dark world. May the Lord use you mightily. Go out, remembering that you called to share in his pain, in his plan, and in his power. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Shahada. Criswell College is chartered by the state of Texas and is an accredited member of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. The college has been granted authority to award the following degrees: the Associate of Arts, the Bachelor of Arts, the Bachelor of Science, the Master of Arts, and the Master of Divinity. These degrees will be conferred by the President acting on the authority of the Board of Trustees. Following the conferring of the degrees, candidates will be called to the platform to receive their diplomas. We encourage family and friends to acknowledge their accomplishment of their graduate as each name is called. Will the candidates from the class of 2021 for the Bachelor of Arts degree please rise? Will the candidate for the Bachelor of Science degree please rise? Will the candidates for the Master of Arts degree please rise? And will the candidate for the Master of Divinity degree please rise? Mr. President, these candidates have been certified by the Office of the Registrar as having satisfied the requirements and have been endorsed by the faculty to receive their respective degrees.
Will the faculty please join me standing?
By the authority granted to me by the Board of Trustees of Criswell College and contingent upon the completion of the appropriate degree requirements, I confer your respective degrees upon you with all the rights and privileges appertaining thereto. Graduates and faculty, you can be seated.
The candidates for the Bachelor of Arts degree are Sarah Elise Allen, cum laude. Perry Lewis Barber. Joseph Anthony Braun, summa cum laude. Hayden Thomas Brown. Emery Elizabeth Burkholder. Rachel Caroline Clark, summa cum laude. Zimbalis Jerome Crawford. Jamie Lynn Crutchfield, summa cum laude. Jonathan Leslie Farr. Rosalind Roche Freeman. Frederick Mushiri Gitai, magna cum laude. Tanya Lynn Hammond. Okisha Roche Jones. Naomi Nyumbura Karanja. Olivia Michelle Lane. Matthew Scott Martindale. Miranda Danielle Rame. Omar Rivera. Ryan Lee Reeves, magna cum laude. Caleb Benjamin Shockey, summa cum laude. Miguel Angel Torres, cum laude. Brandon Lee Trent, cum laude. Jesse Aaron Wells, cum laude. Congratulations. The candidate for the Bachelor of Science degree is Vanessa Cristobal Loera Cruz. Congratulations. The candidates for the Master of Arts degree are Travis Dion Brock. Robert Ellis Chapman, summa cum laude. Medina K. Murray, cum laude. Matthew Marcus Newman, summa cum laude. Daisy Amanda Reynolds, summa cum laude. Connor Stephen Torrealba, summa cum laude. The candidate for the Master of Divinity degree is Samuel Maurice Dew. Let's recognize once again the class of 2021. Will the graduates from the class of 2020 please rise and make your way down to the front at this point so that we can see you up close and personal. This isn't how we did it yesterday in rehearsal, I'm just telling you. Then I realized when I went home that you all are back there under the balcony and no one can see you, and they need to see you. That's why you're here today. Class of 2020, having satisfied the requirements and being endorsed by the faculty, the president conferred upon you your respective degrees on May 12th, 2020. And we are proud of what you have already accomplished. and are honored to reprise the presentation of that diploma today as we celebrate with family, friends, peers, and guests who are in attendance. Congratulations. The Associate of Arts degree was awarded to Gail Lenore Miller. Congratulations. The Bachelor of Arts degree has been conferred upon Ashley Nicole Dommert. Dustin David Kleinschmidt, magna cum laude. Alyssa Lane Masters, summa cum laude. Caitlin Aaron Parsons, summa cum laude. Andrea Lee Sheets. The Master of Arts degree has been conferred upon Elena Anastasia Brockway, summa cum laude. Megan Grace McNamara, summa cum laude. The Master of Divinity degree has been conferred upon Andrew Thomas Subitis, summa cum laude. Again, let's congratulate the class of 2020.
Dr. Terry Moore, the Assistant Professor of New Testament and Greek, will now come to the pulpit and give us instructions and give the benediction.
Instructions first. For our guest, once the recessional concludes, we kindly ask that guests remain in their pew and be seated so that ushers can dismiss everyone by rows. Graduates will be waiting outdoors to celebrate with you. And for our 2021 graduates, one last instruction, and that is, please remember to return your regalia to the chancellor's parlor by 4 o'clock. The campus will close at that time, so 4 o'clock is your deadline, your last deadline from Criswell College, right? Before I give a benediction to you, I just want to remind you on behalf of your Criswell family that we are very proud of you and we love you. So please always feel welcome to come back home and visit as you will. I want to pray for you a prayer from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read it, so my eyes are going to be open. You can choose if you would like to bow or eyes open. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, that is Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
With a Criswell College class of 2020 and all alumni of Criswell College, please stand. We are proud of you and are honored that you represent our college so well. You manifest the core values of Criswell College as you hold fast to the Christian faith rooted in the inerrant Word of God. Serve others with the good news and love of Jesus. Remain committed to pursuing knowledge and wisdom, and testify to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, embodying the reality and goodness of the kingdom of God. As our alumni remain standing, will the Criswell College class of 2021 please stand? Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2021, let me be the first to welcome you to the ranks of Criswell College alumni. You may move your tassels from right to left. And would everyone please join us in standing and congratulating the Criswell College class of 2021 and the Criswell College class of 2020.